So this is what we're going to do this morning. This morning, this is called Church Planting Sunday. This is being taken place. We are part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And so all over the country, all over the world, we are celebrating what is called Church Planting Sunday. So what we want to do is, most of y'all know that we are in Lifert. That is you. Not only me, that is you, the church, the Real Life Community Church of Mercedes is in Lifert. Turn to the person next to you, tell them, we're in Lifert, in case you didn't know. We're in Lifert. And hopefully in a couple of years, we'll be in Westlaco, LaFerrière, Donna, Far, planting churches and going into dark places and seeing people come to Christ. We're going to ask Brother Ed to come up, and I've asked Ed, Eliud was sharing in the Spanish, and Ed is going to share with you why church planting is important. And so, Ed, thank you. Going to give you a couple of minutes, and we'll continue. See, brother, because I'm on the clock. I mean, meeting in on a clock sometimes, So I'll be here nudging you to hurry up, brother, because you're taking my time.
Thank you, brother. And by the way, I am not running for office. don't let the coat fool you. It's that time of year, and please pray for our country. The thing that struck me about the video that we saw, I don't know how much y'all heard or how much attention you paid to it, but there was one brother there that said, I had to do more. I don't know if you caught that. That's what I caught. I had to do more. And I, you know, church planting is about, you know, doing more than what we're doing here. Meeting on Sunday mornings, the great worship. You know, Brother Hector's going to challenge you here in a little bit. But in 2006... my wife and I were sent to Lifert. And I say sent to Lifert because I really honestly believe that the Lord took us there. You know, some of you may not know, but that is the town where I grew up. Well, I didn't grow up in town. I grew up out in the middle of nowhere. But that was my community. I went to school there. And to be able to go back was just a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And, you know, and I was given a tremendous platform, brothers and sisters. As the superintendent of schools there, you know, I had everybody's attention at school. And so, as a believer, you have to share your faith somehow. You can't keep it in. You can't hide your faith or what you believe in. And so, man, I was given an opportunity that, you know, we were talking about the Lord's faithfulness. The Lord has been wonderful to me, and I'm forever grateful. And over time, the Lord was speaking to my heart. I mean, we came here not just to be the superintendent of schools. You know, our thought was we'll go, you know, I'll retire and come back to Mercedes. We kept our home. But, and I've shared some of this with y'all before, you know, the Lord just was revealing to us something different. He wanted us there. He wanted us sharing there. And so the Lord spoke to us, and we shared this eventually with the leadership here, and so we're prepared to stay there. I mean, it's just, there's people that need God, and there's too many unchurched people. You know, I'll put a little plug in for our Bible study groups. We call ours a huddle group in Lifert. You know, and Abraham mentioned 1 Peter because, you know, we've been looking at 1 Peter here. And this week's lesson speaks to Jesus being the living stone, and we're also living stones, and we're to build a spiritual house. And that's not necessarily a house with four walls, but a house of believers. And God is calling us to do that in life.
Mm-hmm.
And those verses in 1 Peter chapter 2 also talk about spiritual sacrifices. It's not easy to do that. But we're called to do that as believers. To build, you know, the Lord comes to live in us, but he also is building a temple of believers here and elsewhere. And I'm really grateful to the team.
Yeah.
Because they are sacrificing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell them enough how grateful I am to them for doing what they're doing in life. We do that, and I'm sure that they do that because they love people. God calls us to love people and to share his message of salvation, to share the gospel with them. And so thank you, T.
Amen.
And thank
Amen.
You, Brother Hector, for that. You know, Eliud mentioned, and it's a very appropriate in Willis County because it's an agricultural community. Eliud mentioned that, you know, his father was a farmer, and it's when you're planting, and Michael Bloomberg found this out recently, you don't put a hole in the ground and put a seed and walk away. That's not farming. You know, that's not planting seeds. It's just not that easy. You have to cultivate the soil, and that's what we're doing right now in life. Cultivating the soil and planting seeds. And we need your help.
That's right.
You know, God is calling us to do more.
Mm-hmm.
God is calling us to trust him because he is faithful. And so, you know, we've had different events, and you know, there's not a whole lot of people, but that's okay. You know, this is God's work, and it's being done in God's timing. And, you know, we've already established, and Brother Hector will speak on this, an area where we know is that fertile ground, going back to the agriculture example. And so we're cultivating that ground and planting seeds.
Yeah.
And it's not that simple. But, you know, God has called us to do that. And we're going to challenge you this morning.
Amen.
What has he called you to do? This brother in the video said, I had to do more. And, you know, what is God calling you to do? Reminded that a few years ago when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, at the end of the Super Bowl, they interviewed their quarterback, Russell Wilson. And he said, you know, we started talking about, you know, why not us? Why not us? We can do this. Why not us? And ultimately, they win and they won. Yeah. There's a Seahawk fan. And so, I'll leave you with this. Why not us? Why not Real Life Community Church planting other churches?
That's right.
Because God, really, it's not a choice. God commands us to do that. And Brother Hector will talk about that. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. I want to let you know that the leadership of this church is committed to planting churches here, there, and everywhere if possible. The title of my sermon this morning is Church Planting is Not an Option. It's who we are. It's in our DNA. If you've looked at the life of Jesus and the early church, you'd soon find out that the early church was always moving, engaging in the culture and in the world that they lived in. A couple of years ago, I began to ask a question to myself, and I said, is this really what church is? I began to ask questions like, what is the purpose of church? And I have been in enough seminars to figure that one out years and years ago when I began to wrestle, what is the existence of the church? Now, what should the church look like? God began to provoke me a couple of years ago. And I found myself June 2019 in Florida at our general council, which is it's a meeting of pastors in our denomination and missionaries. And all of a sudden, I began to sense God like I never really sensed him for a long time. And God gave me three words. And I'm not the kind of guy usually says God spoke to me that way. But the image and what I was seeing as God was speaking to me through the speakers and the family, the Alliance family there, I got three words. And the first one was risks. Risk. You see, church, I've been here 25 years, at least. My wife would like to say she lassoed me in here. God brought me here a long time ago. And so I started thinking, like, is it possible after all these years being the youth pastor for so many years, being the executive pastor, that God now is asking me to take a step of faith and go somewhere else and plant a church? So it gave me risk and then courage. If you know of any church planters, those guys are a whole different group of people. They're wild. They're nuts. Because church planters are willing to go to places that church doesn't want to go. Dark places. Reach prostitutes. Reach drug addicts, reach the homeless, yes, the homeless. And you'll hear about the homeless in a little bit concerning our founder, A.B. Simpson. We're willing to go and fish where nobody wants to fish because we don't want people like that in our church. So I went to council and God said, Hector, how about you? So risk, courage, and then faith to believe that God can do it. See, sometimes we believe, you know, we'll think like God, what's impossible for man is possible for God. And sometimes we think, nah, man, God, you know, the Bible doesn't really say that, right? I mean, that's kind of charismatic. That's kind of very out there. You know, you're talking about God doing these miraculous things and amazing things. You know, I don't think really that's what the scripture teaches. And so faith to believe God can do things. And so we ventured out to Lyford. If you're from the valley, you can't miss Lyford. It's just there. A little old convenience store's been there for years since I was a young whippersnapper, superette, right there off the expressway. And they got a Subway and a Dollar General. That's about it. When I told my colleagues, pastor friends, missionary friends, I called Kevin and called Alfredo and I called Carlos Velez and I called the other people, hey man, I'm going to Lyford. Where? And I began to, you kind of fit, Hector, because you wear a hat and you wear boots. Well, oh, come on, man. I mean, Lyford would not have been my choice. And not even maybe McAllen. But it just wasn't like, but we're there. And so I was in this journey and I began, so we're working in Lyford. This is our team. Some of our team are sitting in the front. Would you guys stand? This is our Lyford team. When you think of them, pray for them. Pray for us. Pray for us. So as I'm in this journey, I begin to think about Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Some of you that know me that that's probably my life verse. He said to go and make disciples. In the mission of Jesus for us, he is commissioning his believer, his followers to go. Reach people and disciple them. That is, take the gospel, make disciples. Every single person that comes to faith in Christ, once we build them up, equip them, let's send them out. Listen to this, and those of you, this is for media, media people, get a good shot at me if you're going to put it on Facebook. Sometimes David says, man, they get the bad side of me where a little side is coming out, so get the thinner side of me. But this is good media phrase right here. It says, a sign of a healthy church is not how many people can fill the chairs. The sign of a healthy church is not, listen to me, church. The sign of a healthy church is not how many seats we can fill, rather how many people we can send. That's a sign of a healthy church. Why? Because we're building, equipping leaders and the church to go and do what Jesus commanded us to do. Amen? Amen. Charles Spurgeon. Now, sometimes you hear Abraham, Dave, those that are preaching, Jacob and Trey. They'll mention these names, and some of you are saying, who are these rascals? Like, from where? I've never heard of a name like that. Charles Spurgeon. Let me tell you who's Charles Spurgeon. He was a Baptist preacher. And between 1832 and 1892, he was considered the most popular preacher of that time. As a matter of fact, his nickname was the Prince of Preachers. So, and Spurgeon said this, either you are a missionary or you're an imposter. In other words, he's saying you are either on mission or you're fake. Which one are you? Listen, church, evangelicals in America have messed this thing called church up. Because somewhere along the way, and this is another one for those of you who put faith, you can get all the wordy, this is a good one. Because somewhere along the way, we believe that it's okay to walk into church every Sunday, be a part of a great worship experience, have a great sermon, walk out of here, live our lives for ourselves, come back the following week, redo the same thing. Come to church, listen to a great sermon, have a great worship experience, redo that again the following week, and call that Christianity. We've messed it up. We've thought that church is coming in, having a great worship service, hearing a great speaker, and we call that Christianity. That is not what the church is about. That is not what the early church was doing. Listen, church, and if you are, say I am. We are missing it. We are missing it, coach. It's like having the crosshairs on a nice buck. And we missed it. And you said, Chihuahuas. We're at a Chihuahuas moment of church. We done missing it. And if we don't make adjustments, families need to make adjustments. Husbands and wives need to make adjustments. Children need to make adjustments. Businesses need to make adjustments. The Cowboys need to make adjustments. And we'll be in the Super Bowl next year. And so if the church is going to be on mission, then the church needs to make adjustments. Turn your Bibles to Acts 11. Acts 11 verses 19 to 26. Let's take a closer look at the early church. And I want you to strap in your spiritual seatbelt because we're going to be on a ride here. And I'm going to go quick because I know that some of you are looking at your watch. And that's what really we've come church to be, right? When is this preacher going to finish? I'm hungry. I need to get. And we call that Christianity. Had to get it all. We missing it. Now, verse 19. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, telling the message to the Jews. Some of them, however, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks, also telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 22, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad and exhorted them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great number of people. The disciples were called Christians for the first time. Let me give you a little bit of background. The church in Jerusalem is growing like wildfire. Persecution has arisen. You can look at Acts 4, Acts 7, the death of Stephen. Philip took the gospel to Samaria and Ethiopia. Then up the Mediterranean coast, Paul gets saved. Then runs out to Damascus and Jerusalem. And now is hiding in Tarsus. Peter had just led the first Gentile family to Christ under the direct leading of the Spirit. He's convinced the apostles and elders in Jerusalem that it is God who's doing this work. And now Luke picks up in Acts 11:19. And it's kind of like, meanwhile, back at the ranch, and what we began to see in the church, planting and missionary efforts of the church, began first reaching Gentiles, and the Gentiles actually planted a church. Let me give you a little, what's about Antioch? It was a happening place. Antioch was not Lyford. It was a happening place. It was a major commercial, cosmopolitan center in the world. It was active place, a whole lot of hustle and bustle, whole worldwide trade. There were salesmen, businessmen, laborers, visitors. I mean, it was happening. It was a place that you and I wanted. It's like those of you that want to go to New York, which I have no idea why you want to go to New York, but it's like New York, Las Vegas, put together. It was a home. It was a place. It was of the great temple Diphi. Diphi was a temple of the worship of the immortal of immoral god. The prophetess there in the temple were sacred prostitutes. Made the Las Vegas Strip look like nothing's really happening, but in Antioch, there was a whole lot of happening with that. And they had a great center of sports activities, and it was a community or a city that was fixed on pleasure and passion. It was known as a city who had gone mad with sports and pleasure. Man, that sounds so much like the U.S. today. Well, we go mad with sports and pleasure. I got a sermon sometime later. We'll talk about sports and the fixation about sports and how that is affecting today Christianity. And I'll rest that for another day. It was a cesspool of immorality and pleasure because the name Antioch became a byword around the world of sensual pleasure. So get the picture, man. It's a filthy place. It's a dark place. It's a sinful place. It's a place where night and day men and women desired pleasure. But I want you to take a note. For those of you taking notes, I know you taking notes. This is a Bible-believing church that takes notes. Antioch was the city where the first great Christian church was planted among Gentiles. Antioch was the first church plant, because remember, they went to the Jews first. And then they went to the Gentiles, and here in Antioch is the first place where a church plant is being done among Gentiles. Antioch, secondly, Antioch was the city and church from which the first worldwide missionaries were sent, Acts 13. So take a picture of this, guys. People are coming to Christ. They're being discipled. And out of there, a church is being planted, and they're sending church planters and missionaries. And it's a dark city. The first church plant was started in a city full of sin, rebellion, and pleasure. But in the middle of a dark place, there was a glimmer of hope and light where the gospel was transforming lives and turning that city upside down. Verse 19 and 20. We need to notice several things about the birth of this church plant. It was formed under persecution. The believers of that day were facing huge issues, huge trouble. They were running for their lives. But a church was formed with average Christians. You see, this first church, guys, look at Acts 11, 19 and 20. There was no pastor, no elder, no leader, no deacon or deaconesses in the first church plant. There were average people like you and me. Now I know I'm considered the professional because I'm a full-time pastor, but it was made up of average people, ordinary people. You won't find any apostles there. You won't find any famous disciple or deacon or no big name like Paul. The first church was planted by just normal Christians. It was planted by people that loved Jesus and wanted to share this hope to a lost and dark world like Antioch. So the requirements for church planting, it's simple, guys. You want to be a church planter? Now, I know there's more to church planting than just what I'm telling you right here because it can get a little complicated, but you want to plant a church? You want to be part of a church planting team? It takes just two simple things. You love Jesus, and you want to share the gospel with people. I mean, share the gospel. Like, hey, man, do you admit it, you're a sinner? Because you know the Bible says that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Hey, man, do you believe the Bible to be the word of God? That God sent his son Jesus to die. Do you believe that? To die on the cross for you, for your sins. Do you believe that? So first of all, you got to admit it. You're a sinner. And secondly, believe that you need Jesus. And then what you got to do? Third, confess him as Lord and Savior your life. And you will be saved. Acts 9. So requirements of planting the church is you love Jesus and you want to share Christ. These disciples came out and proclaimed the gospel to the Gentiles. And watch this, guys. When you see there the words like preaching and teaching, when you see the words sharing the message in other translations, the idea is comes out of Matthew 28:19. The idea as believers were scattered and traveled about, headed toward Antioch, and they got to Antioch, they spoke about Jesus in ordinary conversations. The idea, again, it's Matthew 28:19, go. The idea of go is as you are going. The idea of go is not go and we're going to make this big event so that people can come and fill the place. The idea of going is as you are going in your normal conversations of life, you are sharing Jesus, the risen Savior, the hope of humanity. The idea here literally means as you're going about your business in your ordinary conversations, talk about Jesus. The picture here is sharing and witnessing one-on-one and spreading seeds wherever these early Christians went. Christ was the topic of their conversation. What's the topic of our conversation nowadays? Because something happens, guys. You get saved, and all of a sudden, you want the whole world to know about what happened in your life. And you're telling people about Jesus. And then we get caught up in church activity, church, the Sunday coming, going back leaving after Sunday, coming back the following Sunday, and we do this thing called church. And by the time you know it, we're silent. We're not silent about politics. We're not silent about our business. We're not silent about what we like to do with our hobbies, our time, our money, our resources. But we've gotten quiet about Jesus. And I know some of you are saying, but Hector, I'm not that nuts. I'm not that crazy. I'm not charismatic, or I'm not, you know. But Jesus said that his people were on mission. Jesus said that he came to seek and save that which was lost. Are we seeking and saving that which is lost? These early Christians had received hope, had received the greatest hope imaginable. They've received salvation. The presence of the Spirit of God now invaded their lives and minds. And now they wanted to tell the whole world, man, Jesus saved me. Jesus took this life and made it new again. Jesus, what's the difference? The problem today in most churches is that we left this work to the professional. We might not have the gift of evangelism, but did you know that if we read the Gospels and the epistles, the work of sharing the gospel is given to everyone. You're a believer, it's given to you. You're a follower of Jesus, it's given to you. You love Jesus, it's given to you. Write this down. Put it on your cell phone. May the 16th, we've got a seminar workshop called Equip to Share Your Faith. We want to equip our church to effectively share Jesus with your family, coworkers, friends, effectively. And so May the 16th, there will be a seminar, more information about that. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, I will make you fishers of men. Yeah, Hector, but that's not for me. It's for other people, you know? I mean, I'm just fine with my life group. You know, we get it. We have good community. We eat good and we hang out. But for me to go there and share Jesus, it's not for me. We'll leave that to the elders. We'll leave that to the professional. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:18 that you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That is, just as God reconciled us to him, we are in the business of reconciling others to Jesus. That's not just for me, it's for those that love Jesus. Paul also said that you are an ambassador of Christ. Not just the pastor, not the missionary, not just the leader, elder, deacon. It is you. You are an ambassador. You are the glimpse of hope and peace for mankind. Listen, church. As many churches are being planted today, there are many churches closing because we neglect the work that Jesus given his church. Timothy 2 said, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 says, check this out. Do the work of an evangelist. Do it. Do the work. Let me ask you, when's the last time you shared Jesus with somebody? Now, I'm not talking about you said, hey, the church that I go to, man, real life, man, it's great. It's a place, good place, man, good people, good coffee. People are going to say hi to you. They're going to shake your hand. They're going to have a smile. Some might not give you a smile. They're like, what are you doing here? It's a great place to be. When's the last time you told somebody, man, you need Jesus? Let me tell you how you can know my friend, Jesus. That's the work for you and me. You know what it takes to plant churches? It takes people who've understood what Jesus did in their lives, and out of gratefulness and thankfulness, they want to share Jesus with everyone. I said in the beginning that we're all called to plant churches. Churches is not an option. It's not just, it's kind of like a foreign idea, but we're called to do this thing called church planting. Maybe you might not lead a church plant, but you can be part of a team, or you can be part of a support and aggressively reach the valley for Jesus. I love one of these days. You know what? Your church, your people, the Alliance family, we're in Lyford. But you know what? We're not just in Lyford. We're in LaFaria. You know, what awesome thing is that when people tell us, hey, man, what about Mercedes, a Real Life Community? Well, you know what? Let me tell you, Real Life Community Church is in Lyford. Real Life Community Church is in LaFaria. Real Life Community Church is in Westlake. Real Life Community is south of Donna in the Colonias out there. You know, that's the church. And share Jesus in those communities. So the way the first church plant started was it didn't have a pastor. The first church started without a pastor, without an elder, without a deacon. It started with people like you guys who are just loving Jesus and want to share Christ. It says in Acts 11, 20 and 21 that the Spirit moved through the proclamation of the gospel and people repented and believed. Verse 22, news of this report came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, the mother church. And listen what the mother church did. They sent Barnabas to Antioch. When they arrived, they saw Barnabas goes to Antioch. He said, hey, God is doing some amazing things here. They send him, a good man, a man full of the spirit of faith. We need to notice a couple of things about this church growth in the first century. That the mother church in Jerusalem monitored this growth. So they sent Barnabas to check out what was going on in Antioch. And it says that when Barnabas, in verse 23, he was glad and he exhorted or encouraged them all. So as Barnabas showed up, the word exhorted is the word we get parakli, the word which means to admonish, advise, change, entreat, call, urge, warn, comfort, encourage. Barnabas wanted to tell these scattered believers who they were running for their lives to hang in there. He wanted to exhort them. Actually, Barnabas means encourager or one that comes alongside, kind of the picture of the Holy Spirit. Paraclete, another word for the Holy Spirit, one who comes alongside you or one of the same kind. The Spirit sometimes, that's what it's called, paraclete. So Barnabas comes to these early Christians and he says, hang in there. I'm going to walk with you. Hang in there. Persevere. Hold on to Jesus. Stay focused. That's what we should do when somebody comes to Christ, right? Walk with them. Encourage them. Challenging them. Being there, present, not just by a text, but being with them, walking with them, equipping them, and training them. Verse 24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, faith, and a great number of people were added to their number. What kind of man was Barnabas? Good man. That's not just somebody that does nice things. What the text is referring here to Barnabas is that he was a man of character. His character was striking. Barnabas' character. You saw him and you knew that he was a godly man. A man who loved God. He was what he was in the daytime, what he was in the nighttime. He had character. Secondly, full of the Holy Spirit. He was conscious and aware of the Spirit's presence and power in his life. Barnabas was under the control of the Spirit of God. And it was visible. The fruit of the Spirit was very visible in his life. When you talk about full of the Holy Spirit, the text is meaning to say that he was his life was visible. The attributes of God, a person of God, the Holy Spirit was in his life. And then faith, he believed in the Lord and his purpose and power to do whatever he will. Man, that's a good qualities for a church planting team. That's good qualities for somebody to go support a church plant. Those are good qualities for somebody to be in leadership. Those are good qualities for somebody to serve in the church. Listen, good, those qualities, person of character, person filled with the Spirit who's controlled and see the fruits of the Spirit, and then a person of faith. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe God. Well, Hector, come on, man. You're just a little way too radical, man. Come on, let's just kind of get a little bit more sophisticated here and a little bit more. Take it easy, man. Believing God that he's going to reach people in dark places. And I told JR the other day, man, JR, keep on doing what you're doing. Back in the day, that would be something that would be discouraged in the church because you're actually with a bunch of sinners. Yeah, you're right. You need to be cautious. Discipling somebody helps them navigate through that mess. I think JR is at a good place, him and his wife, among a lot of people that need Jesus. It's not about just, man, we can rock and roll in like the 80s like never before. But man, I'm a dark light in that place. And maybe some of you guys go to places that are dark. I go to the gym every morning, and I drag Rose to the gym every morning. Rose sits to my right right now, and she's quite a lifter. I would say she's here because of our conversation at the gym, right, Rose? The gym is dark. There are people there that don't care about Jesus. Your dark place could be Whataburger. People walk in there every day. They're down and out. Sometimes they're sitting by themselves and they're wondering, is this what life is all about? Because I'm struggling. I mean, how many times have I not sat with somebody in Whataburger that is struggling? Walmart, Charles. Yeah. You know, you're a glimmer of light in a dark world like Walmart. Where's your dark place? Where's your field? I love to fish with Roel. And you guys know that we enjoy fishing. Especially, my favorite place to fish is on the sand. Those of you that no fishing, you know what I'm talking about. It's very skinny water, especially when the wind might be blowing really nice from the south and he doesn't have to pole and he sets the boat the right way where we're just moving water and he's spotting fish. Now, I'm not as good as him at spotting fish, but he'll tell me, Hector, there's a fish at 12 noon, about 50 feet. Well, I tell him, tell me in yards because I can't count the feet thing. I have an issue. yards, right? It's football. A feet, not football. And so what I love about that style of fishing is that you're looking where the fish are at. And you cast at it. And you cast at it. And sometimes you'll nail them. Roel doesn't miss very much. And I was thinking about, that's the way our life should be. We're treading waters in this world that we live in. And we're chunking bait. We're chunking lures. Where's God at work? Where are people that need Jesus? And let's share the gospel. So Barnabas was a man of character, filled of the Spirit and of faith. You know what was clear in the early church? They preached Jesus and many came to Christ. And secondly, they taught them and discipled them. And I'm not going to spend much time on discipling because I think, we've shared quite a bit on discipleship, and I don't want to camp here, but disciple making was and is today the key to building healthy Christians. If you are walking your Christianity alone and nobody's pouring into your life, you might not be a healthy Christian. You need that one-on-one. I am here not because I think I got it all together, because I don't. David always says, ask my wife. Well, ask Mari. I am hard to live with. They me dicen, ya neto, the people that know me, my dad. I'm going to be 52, but I'm acting like I'm 78 already. But I am where I'm at because of men in my life. Even to this day, I have mentors. Just two guys that are older than me, mature in their faith, who have walked with me through the years. Church planting is about reaching and disciple making. Did you know that in real life, we are part of a church planting movement that started back in the 1800s. We are part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and it started back in the 1880. This church, 70-some-odd years ago, was started by a few missionary women. And here we are, years later, 2020, the church is still alive and kicking. Let me give you a little background of who we are as an Alliance family. In the U.S., there are 500,000 people, over 500,000 people, worshiping in more than 2,000 churches in the Alliance. I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to say right here. There's over 6 million people worshiping in more than 20,000 churches worldwide in the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. And that's something to be excited about. But check the difference. There's 2,000 churches in the U.S., and there's 20,000 worldwide. Man, anybody that's talked to an Alliance person knows that our work in the missionary field is far more healthier and more reflective of the early church. There's 180 languages around the world where these churches are happening. There's 180 languages that are, the church is getting done in that language. And the U.S., there's 37. Let me show this picture here. Person on to my right with a beard, that's Albert Benjamin Simpson. He's the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Let me tell you this real quick in closing with the Alliance. A.B. Simpson was a part of 13th Street Presbyterian Church in New York City. He was part of a big church, a good-sized church. He was a great preacher. But the church got a little uncomfortable with A.B. Simpson, if you read his story, because A.B. Simpson left the four walls of the church and began to go to the docks of New York, to reach the immigrants that were coming in from Italy. All of a sudden, A.B. Simpson was reaching all these Italians that were coming to the U.S. And the church says, we can't have that. And so A.B. Simpson says, I'm starting a new church plant. With him, he took a hand. He told his church, read his story, don't come with me. You stay in this church. I'm going to venture out. And he did. And so today, after all these years, we have a movement in the Alliance family that started back in the 1880s, and it's still alive today. And the Christian Missionary Alliance today around the world are looking for new expressions to share Jesus and disciple people and reach people in dark places. And that's what we want at Real Life Community Church. We want to see a movement created among our church that is willing to send people to Elsa, Donna, LaFeria, Harlingen, and reach others for Christ. It took 17 people, more or less, that started this church plant. And today we have what is called the Christian and Missionary Alliance Churches. Over 6 million people that are a part of the Alliance family around the world. Imagine what God could do with a church plant. Imagine what God could do through Real Life Community Church. If just a few of us would love Jesus and say, man, the gospel needs to go out. We need to go to dark places. I need to go to my neighbor. I need to go to the neighborhood. This summer I'm doing a block party to my neighborhood, and we're just going to love them. We're going to share the gospel. This summer we're going to have backyard VBS, and we're going to love them and share the gospel. This summer we're going to go fishing, and we're going to go to places that nobody's going. How should you respond this morning? I pray that right now God is shaking some of you guys up. He's provoking you. Listen, church. And I've said it so many times. Life is short. Last sermon I preached a month ago, I said life is short. We're here one day, gone the next day. We're all deteriorating. We're all getting old. We're all getting gray-haired. We're all just talking about in our breakfast mornings with our buddies about what pill you're taking. Well, we're not there yet, but we're getting there. And so we know that life is short. Man, when you go to bed at night or you sit in your house, do you ever wonder, is this really all what life is all about? We come every Sunday, hear Pastor Dave, one of the elders. Man, these guys bust up their vocals and gives us spiritual goosebumps, and we go, ooh, yeah. Is that what church is? Or is there really some there that I haven't quite yet got a handle on it? And I want to make a very specific call this morning. Some of you have a calling from God. I texted Mark. I'm not sure if Mark is here. Some of you might know Mark Gomez. He's a coach. You know he's a coach. And he said, and if you've been hearing him the last year or so, he says, man, I want to win district championships. I want to do this. I want to do that. But something happened to Mark the last few months. Now he's saying, I want to do ministry. Sports isn't that important. People need Jesus. Mark doesn't know a whole lot about the Bible. Now, he's been brought up in the church, but he fell away for many years. He's leading an FCA at the junior high with 42 kids. Now you tell me, is God doing something there? I wanted Mark to come because I know there's a handful that perhaps God's been nudging your heart for the last few years about ministry, but you've been saying, it's not now. And now Mark is saying, nah, it's not about district championships. It's that people need the gospel. People need Jesus. Some of you might have that calling. Some of you, you want to know about church planting. And so I'm going to, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask the team to come up and we're going to pray. And they're going to be here. Maybe to encourage you, pray with you. They have a little card I want you to fill out. If maybe there are some of you that want to know about church planting. What does it take to plant a church? Maybe there's a good number of people from Westlaco here that want to plant a church in Westlaco. We want to help you get there. And there's a lot of people in the Spanish church. I had several people come up to me and tell me, you know, Hector, I'm not the person that might lead one. I might not be part of the team, but I'll go support you. I'll be there. So we've been very thankful the last few events that we've done. We've had several people go out there to our planting efforts. Christine's been out there, Yoli, Melba, Charles, Roel, Becky. You're not there, Rick Arguelles. You're not there necessarily, but you're there. You're there every month. Hey, man, I'm gonna buy the ice. I'm gonna buy the drinks. I'm gonna buy this. I'm gonna buy that. And you're there to support. Listen, that's your church and Lifer, guys. We're there, but that's your church. So maybe some of you say, Hector, I might not be that guy, but I'm gonna support you financially. We're gonna give you a bunch of chips. We're gonna give you a bunch of drinks. We're gonna somehow. And maybe even play with the kids, be out there doing games and all that. Maybe you are saying this morning, I would love one day to be part of a team. I love to be part of a team. David told me a couple of months ago, I said, man, Hector, you're different. Well, I haven't changed. But people need Christ. People need to be discipled. We need to go where there's fish. I'm not comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable. Thank God for mother churches. They support plants all over the world. But if this is what we call church, then we're missing it. Church planting is not an option. It's in our DNA. It's who Jesus says we are. It's who the early church was. And we want to continue to be that. I want you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask the Lifer team to come up. Spread yourself up here. Grab a couple of cards and a couple of pins. Spread yourself up here. I want you to bow your heads. Those of you that are listening, the team's going to be up here with some pins and a card. Maybe some of these four things I share with you, maybe you come over this way, guys. Come over, spread yourself across the front. Maybe you have a calling. Maybe you want to know more about church planting. Maybe you want to support a church plant. Maybe you want to be a part of a team one of these days. Would you consider, God, are you calling me? And so, God, I pray right now, Lord, as everyone is seated and thinking about Acts 11 and how that would unravel itself here at Real Life. God, we want to plant churches. We believe that churches is the way to reach more people for Jesus. We're not want to be program oriented, but we want to be missionally oriented. It's a church who's on mission. And so God, would you spur us, provoke us, Lord? Is that me? Would I be? I don't know what that really means, but I want to know and I want to be a part of that. And yes, I've been way too comfortable. And so we want to help you, just encourage you. What's the next step? Where do we go from here? And so fill it out. Put your name, your number, circle one of those, check off one of those. I'm going to give you some time. The worship team is just going to softly sing, play a little bit while we respond to God. We want to respond to God. What's your response this morning to these things that we've talked about? Would you be the first one to say, Hector, I'm gonna support this work somehow. Count me in. Take my number. So would you come and speak to one of us? How you can be a part of a church planting movement here in the Lower Rio Grande Valley and perhaps elsewhere, but you want to somehow partner with us and do this thing we call church plant. Let's sing a little chorus or something, A.B., as while we sit here and just kind of wait on God and